Thank you for tuning in to the Hoboken Grace podcast. We're super excited you're here as we walk into today's message. Our prayer is that it would inspire you on your walk with God and support you in a weekly rhythm of connecting with Him. To access our full podcast library, visit hobokengrace.com or our app.
Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you that you are a God who rescues. I thank you for how you step into the brokenness and the messiness and the darkness in life, and you can do unbelievably beautiful things. And I thank you that you invite us to be part of that with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good afternoon and welcome. If I haven't had the chance to meet you, my name is Chris. I'm lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And right now we are in the midst of this conversation that has everything to do with that rescue and this reality that God calls us into this rescue mission with us. And we talked about from the beginning of this series, and if you weren't here, you can go back. They're all available online. You can watch along with us. But from the beginning of this series, we embrace the fact that, listen, we're not just rescued from something, we're rescued for something. And even you hear that story. She wasn't just rescued from something. She was rescued for something. Because before the beginning of this whole story, God had things that he intended to do through her to be able to bring that rescue to others. And so we've been moving through the last couple of weeks and just asking, okay, what does that look like in my life? And I hope that you've been in this conversation with God. I hope that for the rest of your life, you're in this conversation with God where you're asking, okay, how do you want to work through me? What does that look like in my life? And so we've been asking God that question. Then we've been looking for, okay, who has God put in our path? And just paying attention to the people God puts in our path in those moments where God's like, hey, I want you to talk to so-and-so. I want you to move this direction. Because it's oftentimes through those little steps of obedience that God ends up shaping the larger story. And so we're looking at who God's put in our path. In addition to that, we're paying attention to, okay, what is God doing in my heart? And is there people or a group of people, or is there something that God has put on my heart that I can't get away from, this idea of God developing a burden inside of us? And then last week we looked at, okay, what do we do when God begins to lay out a dream? What do we do when we begin to dream with God? And he's like, hey, I want you to do this. We looked at how he calls us to be strategic and not to just abandon our responsibilities, but to be faithful and to be slow and intentional. And as we come together today, we've got a couple more weeks where we're going to work through that story of Nehemiah, which is the story that we've been moving through, where we see him dreaming with God and then moving that to execution. We've got a couple more weeks where we're going to talk through that. But before we get there, I'm going to press pause because there's a question I think we have to answer before we go any further. And there's a question that as I've been talking with people about this, and even as I've been working through and planning out, okay, God, where do you want us to go with this? There's a question that God just continues to bring me back to. And I've mentioned it in passing in a couple of different situations as we've moved through the series, but I think that we really need to sit with this. Because I think, one, it's really significant in life. It's phenomenally significant if you're going to actually live out what you were created for. And number two, I don't think very many of us are aware of it. As a matter of fact, I don't think many of us know the answer to this question. And if you don't know the answer to the question, it's going to be almost impossible for you to be able to not only dream with, but to be able to step into that which you were created for. The question actually shows up in the first story that we looked at in this series. So if you remember back in week one, we looked at this moment where Jesus invites Peter into the story with him again. Peter had denied Jesus three times, and so he thought, I'm done. There's no more dreaming with God for me. God's not going to do anything through me anymore. But Jesus steps back into his life and says, no, Peter, I'm not done with you. Let me take you back to that moment. I'm just going to come to the third time. Jesus has asked him three times, do you love me? We're going to start off in the third time. It says, the third time he said to him, Simon, so he's talking to Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, because he knows he's referencing the fact that he denied him three times. He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And we celebrate this moment because this is Jesus saying to him, "I know what happened, Peter. I know what you did, but I'm still going to work through you. I'm still going to use you. We're still going to be able to dream together of what this can look like." And it's this amazing moment where Peter's back in, and it teaches us so much. We talked about this in week one. It teaches us that his invitation to this mission, it's not based on us. We're not good enough. You don't earn this. It's an invitation of grace. And you see this moment, this celebration, but that's not the end of the story. So Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." In other words, Peter, you're still in. But then he continues. And as he continues, he says something interesting. He says, "I tell you the truth." He's still speaking to Peter. "I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter, you're still in. Feed my sheep. I'm still going to work through you. And then he tells him how he's going to die. What is that about? Why is the next thing that you share how he's going to die? I think it has everything to do with this question. This question that we all have to answer. The question is this: what is your primary dream? What is your primary dream? What I mean by that is this: we have a lot of different dreams. We have all sorts of different dreams in our lives. But all of us have one dream that's primary. In other words, this is the dream that all other dreams submit to. If there's conflict between dreams, this is the dream that always wins. It's the primary dream. Now, some of you have thought through this before, not many of you. Most of us, it just kind of happens as we move through life and we have it. We've never even thought to examine what it is. But all of us have one. Make no mistake about it. You have a primary dream. For most of us, as we grow up, this is shaped by the questions that are asked to us or what other people dream about for us. And so for many of us, it's what we're going to become, the position that we'll hold, or maybe the status that we'll have, how successful we'll be. This has everything to do with the fact that from the time that you're this tall, you're asked over and over and over again, "What are you going to be when you grow up? What are you going to be when you grow up? What are you going to be when you grow up?" And sometimes that's specific to a position. Oftentimes that's more like how successful you'll be. Now, I will say that's not always the case. If you're second-generation immigrant, you were never asked what you were going to be when you grow up. You were told what you were going to be when you grow up. Anna was never asked what she was going to be when she grew up. She was told, "You will be in the medical field. You will be successful. That's what you will be. That's why we came here." And so maybe you were just told what you were going to be. But along the way, we develop this primary dream. And everything else, as good as it may be, and there's plenty of other really good dreams, but they all submit to that primary dream. It's interesting. I've been able to live in several very different places in this country, and it's interesting to see this in different cultures. So I've lived in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Kalamazoo, Michigan, and Hoboken. I only live in very unique named cities. But when you look at this primary dream, it's different, very different in those different places. Where I grew up in Michigan, it was all farm country. No one asked you what you were going to be when you grew up on a farm. You're going to be a farmer. That's what you're going to do. You're going to take over after your parents are done farming. And so the primary dream, it really wasn't about what you were going to be. The primary dream was actually family. This is why most of my classmates were married by the time that they were 22. A lot of them have grandkids already, which you think is crazy, but they don't. But a lot of the decisions that you made, even about career, were made based on family and the family that you were building. And then I moved here. It's very different. The primary dream is career. And for most of you, the primary dream is career. That's why you moved here. And so here, you get married a lot later. You have kids a lot later. And all those decisions are made around career, because that's the primary dream. Everyone has one. The question is, what's yours? After the first service, people asked me, what about Alabama? What was the primary dream there? Fishing. It's not actually a joke. I can't tell you how many people just look forward to the day they were going to buy their bass boat. All of us have one. Very few of us have ever sat down to think through, okay, what is it? Which is actually a little dangerous. And I don't care what you believe about God, you need to answer this question, because your primary dream is shaping who you are. And some of you are doing it intentionally, and some of you are doing it by default. Some of you are making conscious decisions about your primary dream, and some of you are doing it subconsciously. And that's not a good way to live life. So what is your primary dream? And then what happens is this. We're on this journey, and we're living for that primary dream. We have other secondary dreams alongside of it. And then we meet Jesus. And you meet Jesus, and you hear about how he loves you, how he gave his life for you, how you can be adopted into his family, and the story that he has for you. We move through the series, and we talk about what he wants to do through you. And you say, that's an incredible dream. I love that dream. I will add that dream to my dreams. But we don't add it as the primary dream. We add it as the secondary dream. Or some of you, and this is really destructive, some of you were actually taught that Jesus was the way to get your primary dream. And some of you were told, and you may even have had a pastor teach you, no, if you just do the right things and you follow him the right way, Jesus will make sure you get that primary dream. It's not at all what Jesus teaches, but it's a great way to get people to show up for services. Until he doesn't keep his end of the bargain. And then you get angry. As a matter of fact, some of you walked away from God a long time ago because someone told you that, well, this was the way to get what you wanted, and if you followed him well, then he'd make sure you got that primary dream, but it didn't work out. Listen to me, Jesus never promises that. He never promises that. As a matter of fact, I think it's quite the opposite. And here's why this is again, really important, not just for you to understand how you make decisions in life, but the other reason why this is important is because when Jesus steps into your life, he steps in and says, no, I want to be primary, not secondary. And some of you read through scripture and you hear God talking about idols and you say, I don't have any figurines in my house. What do idols have anything to do with me? What are you talking about, idols? Well, listen to me. Any dream in your life that supersedes God's dream is an idol. In other words, it's something that you worship more than you worship him. And if you're going to experience what God wants to do through you, you're going to have to address that idol. This is why, again, let's go back to this passage where he's having this conversation with Peter, and he says to him, this is how you're going to die. Let me take you again to, let's just read through the whole thing again, starting from the third question. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. You're in. I'm still going to move through you. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands. He's speaking to the fact that Peter would be crucified. And someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he says to him, follow me. In other words, Peter, I still have a dream for you. But Peter, it's going to cost you the rest of them. Now, will you follow me? Will you allow my dream to be primary? Because here's the thing, Peter. It's not going to work if it's secondary. As a matter of fact, if you allow my dream to become primary, it's going to cost you everything. Will you follow me? And Peter said, yes. And he moved forward from that place in that moment with Jesus' dream being primary. And God changed the world through him. But the turning point was this moment. And the question was very real. Is my dream primary or secondary? And I want you to know as we move through this and we talk about what God wants to do in you and what you were created for, if you are going to truly experience what it is that God wants to do through you, you will come to a moment, and many of you are there, where you will have to decide, is it primary or secondary? Will you make the decisions in your life around his dream or yours? Which one is it for you now? After the second service, I got the chance to be able to meet a couple. They were missionaries, and they had actually led someone who comes to know, who comes to our church. They had led her family to Christ years ago in South America, and they just happened to be visiting during the second service. And so she brought them and introduced them to me and said, this is actually the missionaries who led my family to Christ. This is why I know who Jesus is. And they looked at me and they said, you know, I remember when we made the decision for his dream to be primary. And they said, we are so grateful we did. God had an unbelievable story that he was going to tell through them. But that would never have been possible if they hadn't decided. No. All the other dreams are secondary. And I don't know what God's going to do with those. I don't know what that's going to look like. But his dream is primary. Listen to me. I understand that this is not easy. This is not an easy decision to make, nor is it something that you should just in a moment say, no, you need to sit with this. This is why I want to come back to this question, because I think you need to sit with this. And it's difficult. Even in this moment when Jesus says this to Peter, listen to how Peter responds. It just shows how this is a hard thing to do. It says, Peter turned. So Jesus says, this is what's going to happen, and it's going to cost you all of these other dreams. As a matter of fact, Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following him. He's talking about John. When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? He says, is it going to cost him all of his dreams too? What's it going to cost him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? He says, no, it's not for you to know his story. But you have to decide, Peter. What will it be? As Peter is writing his account of Jesus' life, he quotes Jesus actually teaching his disciples this before, well before we get to that story with Peter. Mark chapter 8 says this. It says, Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said this, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What is he talking about? He's saying, if you want to know the dream that I have for you, you have to be willing to allow the others to die. You don't know what God's going to do with them. There are all sorts of dreams that when we first came to Hoboken, I thought, no, that's never going to happen. That's never going to be part of our story because that's never going to be possible with living here. But God's allowed us to be able to see a lot of those. You don't know what he's going to do, but you have to make them secondary. To be willing to say, no. I die to them. And your dream is going to be primary in my life. As I was working through this, it hit me. You know, we have an interesting relationship with crosses, don't we? Because we look at the cross, and it's really a sign of death. I mean, as a matter of fact, it was one of the cruelest ways that you could be put to death. And in the ancient world, it was seen as the ultimate of torturous death. But for many of us, we actually walked in today, and there's a cross on us somewhere. And so many of you have a cross around your neck and you wear that cross and you look at that cross with excitement and encouragement. And others of you, you have it on a bracelet. Some of you have it tattooed somewhere on your body. But we celebrate the cross. But it hit me this week, you know, we celebrate the cross for Jesus. But we're terrified of the cross for us. We look at the cross when it comes to Jesus and we say, oh my goodness, there's life. And look at what's possible. And look at the significance of the story God's telling. As we look at the cross for Jesus, we think that. But then when it comes to us, we still see death. What if we've missed it? What if the cross wasn't just the door to life and significance for Jesus? What if it's the door to life and significance for us? Jesus says, you want to know what I have in store for you? If you're going to follow me, you're going to know what it is that I want to do. You have to take up your cross. There's this door that you have to walk through. But listen to me. You can't walk through it with another primary dream. You can't walk through it with another primary dream. You have to leave that at the door. It's amazing that even after we've seen what God did with that cross with Jesus, we're still afraid of it ourselves. We know what he does with crosses. We know what he does with those who are willing to let go of what the world has to offer for what it is that he wants to do. We know it, and we're still hesitant. As we've been walking through this series, I'm convinced that a lot of you are there. And the next step for you, you've experienced God's love. You've been in the come and see part of the journey, and you've experienced how he's brought you into this story and what it is to have him as your father. You've been rescued. You've experienced what it is to follow and see his faithfulness. But you have come to the cross. And it's not his. It's yours. And if you're going to experience what it is that he wants to do in and through you next, it's only possible if you decide, no, his dream is primary. Everything else submits to his dream. God, whatever it is that you want to do through me, however it is that you want to work through me, wherever it is that you want to take me, everything else submits to his dream. You don't have to be afraid of the cross. It is what brings life and significance. Will you allow his dream to become primary? I want to give you a chance to talk to God about this, because this is really, I mean, this is a conversation you need to have with God. And for some of you, you need to ask God, okay, God, I need for you to reveal in me what my primary is, because you're just beginning this conversation. You're just beginning to process and think through this. And it's important for you to know, okay, what is that idol? And for him to reveal that in you, God, allow me to be able to see that and to know that. But then in addition to that, to be able to step into it today, and maybe today you're making this decision and you're hesitant because it's the first time that you made this decision. This is a decision you're gonna have to make over and over and over again, because idols have an unbelievable ability to come back. And it's really easy for some of you, maybe you're even here today and you've made the decision in the past that you wanted God's dream to be primary, but it's become secondary again. And you know it. It's a decision you're gonna have to make over and over and over again in your life. And no, I want your story for my life. I want your dream for my life. I'm gonna make my decisions around your dream. I want for no one and nothing else to sit on the throne of my life but you and your dream for my life. I want to give you the chance to have that conversation with him right now. Would you bow your head? I'm just going to pray for a moment and then just give you space to have that conversation with him. Father, I thank you for how you rescued us. I thank you for how you rescued us, not just from guilt and shame and brokenness. I thank you for how you've rescued us from insignificant dreams. And I pray that today we would walk through that door, that we would engage the cross, and we'd set down those secondary, insignificant dreams for that which you have for us. And so, Father, we pray. If you have the elements of communion, I invite you to take them now and to remember the cross where Jesus taught us that God's dream is better, that you can trust him to let go of what this world has to offer for what it is that he has in store. In Jesus' name, amen.